Well, I was just thinking on some things this last several weeks and months, and some of the prophecies that came forth right at the first of the year. And I know we've read these, but I'll just read this one here in December 29th of 2013, just before the first of the year. It says, "The year where we sell out to Him." Said, "What I heard this afternoon in prayer, this year coming up is the year where we sell out to Him. There's going to be a great division in the church, and I'm talking about the prayer center, with good intentions, but great warfare. Some will stay, some will go. And I'm telling you, that's okay. It's the year of selling out to Him, whatever His will is. I don't live unto myself anymore." And the next one was January 5, 2014. He says, "My plans have not changed. My plans have not changed and will not change regarding the mission of the Family Prayer Center. No matter who stays or goes, no matter what you think is right or wrong here, it does not change my plan for you or the body of the family, the prayer center. Obedience is all I need. We will have our revival. Every day we are closer than before." And finally, the third one I was going to read today, it says, "The assignment of God gave us is going to be completed." It says, "The purpose will come to pass for what the prayer center has been directed to do. There's been an assignment given, not specifically to this group, but the assignment that has been given to the prayer center family. It is the ones around anywhere who have attached themselves to the standards of prayer and fasting, but not just the standards of prayer and fasting, but of not pursuing our own ministry, our own dreams, but also of prayer and our own dreams, but also standards of laying your life down, not of building something of men, that type of thing. If you've been attached to us, either by your heart or by God's will, attached to this assignment, it is moving forward. It has made leaps and bounds over the last few years, unseen leaps and bounds the last few years. I need to say that again. The assignment that God gave has progressed in leaps and bounds over the last few years, and it is going to be completed. So don't be discouraged. Don't be disheartened. Don't listen to failure or defeat, because it is not true. He says, keep moving forward, because in you is something precious that is being built, that you carry with you everywhere you go. You're important to God. He needs you. He is seeking for a revival of love, of integrity, of sincerity, of holiness, a revival of God's power, a revival of God's heart. And it may seem like the length of time to get there may look like it is because it is not working, but it is. If you just look inward, you will find out that it is. So we don't want to look outward to see if progress is being made, but we want to look inward, don't we? To ourselves. And if we're going to be those, as God said, the sold out one, that's a little bit about what I was going to talk about today, is what do we need to be a sold out one? And the first thing that comes to me, as I was just praying and thinking about that, I said, Lord, what is that really, what is that saying? How do I become a sold out one to you? How do I become fully committed to you? And we know a lot of things here at the prayer center because they've been taught. We've been taught it's going to involve prayer and fasting. It's going to involve worship and meditation and assimilation of the Word of God. Amen? But we've got to become something within that. And I'm going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And it says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Verse 2 says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So the first thing, I think, in being a sold-out one is that we become faithful stewards of the mysteries of God, of the things that He has given us. We become faithful to the things that God has been teaching us here at the Prayer Center. We become faithful men of prayer and worship and seeking and pursuing God. But we also become faithful to the things that God places within your own heart. Because there's people all around you wherever you are. Wherever you go, you influence people. They say you influence as much as 146 people in a day. Whether to do good or evil. Whether to do the right thing or the wrong thing. You say, well, how do I do that? I don't even talk to that many people. I don't see that many people. But you do influence people. You know, if they call you up on the phone, you say, well, I'm sorry, or maybe you got a message, you can't talk right now. And they say, well, where were you? I was in prayer. You were in influence to that person. Oh, yeah, maybe I need to get into prayer. You know, we don't see the small things that God sees in our lives. And He wants us to be found faithful. Acts 12, I want to look at a person in the Bible that was found faithful. You know, one that wasn't found faithful, but one that was found faithful. And it doesn't mean because you're not faithful right now that you can't become faithful. Amen? We can become faithful to God. And we can become that sold out one, but it's a decision that each one of us has to make on our own. Nobody can make that decision for you. Pastor Dave can't make that decision. Pastor Tim can't make that decision for you. Brother Alan or Mark or anybody else. You can't make it, you know, you have to decide in your heart. Say, Lord, do I want to be a sold out one? What is that standard? Am I going to take the step to walk in a standard with God that is above the rest of the body of Christ? Because much of the body of Christ is teaching us complacency and not completeness. Hallelujah. We want to be complete in Him. And if we're going to be complete in Him, we've got to be found faithful stewards of the mysteries of God. What are these mysteries? Praying in the Spirit, right? Primarily. Other kinds of prayer, but praying in the Spirit. Meditating that Word. Taking the Word of God on a regular basis. Am I faithful? I have to ask myself, am I faithful on a daily basis to look into the Word of God for myself? I'm not talking about religion, but based upon the relationship with my Father. Because I love Him. Because I want change in my life. Because of a Father that does love me, and I know He loves me. And within His Word, He's revealed Himself unto me. And so I learn to love His Word. And sometimes, yes, there's a discipline to it. Sometimes there's times, and we know that. We discipline ourselves because we know that the Word of God says it's going to produce a result in my life that I desire. I want to change. I don't want to stay the same. I want to walk into that place that God's talking about, where there is a sincerity in my heart, where I have the truth of the Word of God, and it's accompanied by power. You see, a lot of times the Word of God doesn't so much stress revival, but it does talk about holiness to the Lord. It talks about having right doctrine. It talks about seeking first the kingdom. Peter talks about having a sincere love, a love that's real, that's true unto the Father. Not something that's, you know, just looks good on the outside. A lot of us, have you ever seen those, you know, you go to one of those plays, they got those rocks up there and everything, they all look real. But you go up and knock on one, it's all styrofoam. It's not going to hold you up, you can't walk on it, kids can't jump on it and play. But God wants us to have a reality that comes from within. He said, where do we look for our answer, for our change. We don't look on the outside, we look to the inside, where God is changing us, where God is taking us to a greater place in Him, a greater understanding of who He is, a greater understanding of how He wants us to live our life and walk that out. And that first thing is that we are faithful. Acts 12. Let's go there for a minute. And I was reading this. Let's see, Acts. Got to go back the other way. Acts 12. Let's go to verse 24. Acts 12, 24. And it's talking a little bit here about Barnabas and Paul and their ministry. And it says, "But the word of God grew and it multiplied. And Barnabas and Paul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark." Now here we see that Paul and Barnabas, they're doing their ministry. And they're all excited, hallelujah, about the great things that God is doing. And they're probably declaring it. And other people are saying, "Hey, there's Paul. Look at what he's doing. Look at the great miracles that are happening. Isn't that awesome?" And John Mark apparently sees this. "Oh, can I go with you? I really want to go with you. I'm ready. I'm ready to be in the ministry. I'm ready to help you. I'm ready to get alongside and lock arms with you, Paul and Barnabas. I want to go." And he was excited, and I'm sure his heart was in it. You know, he did it with all his heart. You know, with all of his emotion. And anybody ever made a decision, "I'm going to seek God. Hallelujah, I'm going to pray." But how many know sometimes when you start down that road, there's many decisions that you're going to have to make along the way. Am I going to be faithful? What's one thing that comes to everybody? You know, you got to pray. "Well, I just don't have time. I don't have time to pray." Have you got a 15-minute lunch break at work? You know, most of us spend more than that watching some show. You get halfway through and find out it's terrible and you shut it off. You know, say, "Man, I should have been praying during that time. Man, what's the matter with me?" You know, you can pray watching a show. I know that. You can pray while you're doing other things. But am I setting any time? God says, "Pursue me." When we get in to pursue someone, we're making a concentrated effort to get to know them. Amen? How many ever had a boyfriend or girlfriend? I see a few married people in here. Hallelujah. How many know? You know, I remember when my wife and I, we talked till 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. Be on the phone, and then they go home, they call you, right? And you talk a little bit more because they want to make sure you're okay. You know, they're trying to get to know you, trying to get to know one another. And you do a lot of things together. Oh, Friday night's coming up, you know. You know, the guy puts his best forward, right? And sometimes with the Lord, you know, when we're first entering in, we put our best foot forward. But he said, we've got to remain faithful. And here we see they're taking John Mark with them. And then let's go on into verse chapter 13. Let's go ahead and read here. "So now there were in Antioch, that which was at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simon, that which was called Niger, and Lucius and Cyrene, and Manon, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. So they ministered, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them.' And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister." So we know John is with them, right? "And when they had gone through the isle unto Patmos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him, and he said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about, seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. So for some reason, John Mark was with them. We knew he was with them in several other cities, and he's seeing Paul and Barnabas minister. Apparently, he's probably making the... I'm just throwing some things. I know I can't prove all this, but I'm just saying, think about it. You know, what did he do? He probably carried their luggage, you know. He's carrying their luggage. He's going to get the wood, get the campfire started, start cooking the food, you know. And he's with Paul and Barnabas, and perhaps the thought came to him, this is not what I signed up for. You know, I want the power. I want to see God move through me, you know, me. You know, God's going to use me, Paul and Barnabas. When am I going to get my opportunity? And perhaps he got tired of doing some of those things, and he says, I'm going to hightail it home to Jerusalem. Now, it seems like that's not a big deal, but he'd made a commitment, right? Anybody make a commitment and then... You know, and I know we've fallen, and I'm not talking about just falling out of prayer, but he left. He said, I'm taking off. I'm going home. And we see something here over in Acts. Let's go to verse chapter 15, verse 36. Acts 15, 36. And some time passed. I'm not sure how much time passed. I didn't really look it up. I'm sorry. But some time has passed, and Barnabas and Saul are getting ready to go again. Verse 36, and some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we had preached the word of God, of the word of the Lord, excuse me, where we'd preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. So he says, let's go back and see our brethren. Let's go strengthen them. Let's see how they're doing. Paul's checking up on them. He said, we need to go visit them. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought it not good to take him with them, who departed from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the centurion and the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. So Paul and Barnabas are here, and Barnabas says, let's take John with us. And Paul says, no way, Everybody says, well, what's the matter? Was he in unforgiveness? No, we know he wasn't in unforgiveness. Paul taught to forgive. But it was some kind of a hardship took place on Paul's ministry when he decided to depart. And you know, you're important. You know, when we make a decision to follow after God and to know Him, and we don't want to be those that are unfaithful, amen? We want to remain faithful to the things of the Spirit of God, to the things that God has called us unto. He said, when he departed, apparently something happened, because Paul said, no way, I'm not taking him with me right now. He needs to pray. He needs to seek God. But he didn't think so. John Mark apparently still thought he ought to be able to go. He was probably buddying up to Barnabas, the son of encouragement. Said, you know, see if you can get him. You know, let's try it again. I need another chance. But it wasn't time for him to have another chance. It was time for him to pray and to seek after God. And the problem was not a matter of unforgiveness. It was a matter of character. He said, John Mark apparently made an emotional decision. You know, he got all excited and went out. But that wasn't the end of his life. It wasn't like it was over for him. Because later on, you know, in 2 Timothy, Paul later says to Timothy, he says, bring John Mark with me. He's profitable for me in the ministry. So something took place in John Mark's life where he changed. There was a change that took place. Even though he found out, he said, Lord, I didn't have it right now. I didn't have it at that time, but I got it now. I can remain faithful. Why? Because he that prayeth in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God, albeit in the Spirit. He speaks those mysteries. Everything he is in Christ, to him and through him, is going to begin to come forward, and the strength begins to rise up. He said, ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit began to do a work in the side of John Mark. And later on, Paul said, bring John Mark with you, Timothy. I want him to see, you know, because what happens, I get a little ahead of myself. That's okay. Hallelujah. But in chapter 16, verse 1, it says, then came he to Derbe. So Paul and Silas, they came to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple there named Timotheus, or Timothy, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed. But his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. So apparently Timothy, the people are talking, hey, he's a good man. This is a great guy, Paul. Paul meets Timothy. And I mean, maybe Timothy's saying, hey, man, I'm meeting the great Apostle Paul, you know. Or maybe the first time you met Pastor Dave. I met Pastor Dave. You know, he's a great man of God, and he is. And we need to see those things, and these are examples in the Lord, right? As they follow Christ. We're to be, the goal is that we're transformed into the image of Christ. Not the image of Pastor Dave, even though some of the same traits will be there, the same kind of miracles. You can have everything that he walks in. But it's going to be through you, your nature, the call and the place that God's placed you in the body of Christ, whatever that may be. But the same power, the same glory, the same miracles can still take place, whatever your call is. Whether it be to the marketplace or to a ministry, it's all a ministry. Everything you do affects your life. God says, whatever we do in word or deed, do all unto the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're giving glory to him, whatever we do, whatever that may be. And so we see Timothy here. Apparently, he was able to hang in there. Amen. And he stood and he continued to work with them. You don't hear much about Timothy ministering for a long time. But the day came, and Paul says, hey, I don't have anybody that's more like-minded. Why? Because he continued to be faithful. He listened to what Paul was saying. He began to apply those principles on a regular basis. He began to meditate on what Paul was saying. He began to make that his own. You see, we can hear a message, but when we're going to mature is when we take our Bible and we pray in tongues to the Father, and he helps us to make it real in our heart. When it becomes alive in your heart, nobody can take it from you. It doesn't matter. You know, what are you going to do if you don't have Pastor Dave around all the time to beat you back into pride? Say, well, I don't need that because I have a nature on the inside of me that's drawing me. I know my Father loves me. I'm beginning to develop a place with the Father where it's a joy to me to sit in his presence, to allow him to come and fellowship with me. And I'm coming to that place where his word is coming alive on the inside of me. I'm beginning to see everything that Jesus was on the face of the earth. And I know I can do that because greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to let discouragement take me out. Hallelujah. I'm not going to look around at what I see. I have a lot of friends, and it looks like they're doing great works for God. And they are. They're following God, how God's leading them. But we have a place here where we're pressing in to the Father, where there's going to be a place of integrity, a place of sincerity, a place of truth, a place of stability that's so strong, and we are so founded, and we're so established, and we're so built up in Him that nothing can stop you. Nothing. Hallelujah. No work of the enemy. The enemy is going to try to come up with a plan, but you know, he's only got so many tricks. You know, he uses the same ones a lot of times over and over. And you know, the sad thing is we fall for them. You know, sometimes we fall for them, don't we? You know, well, he ain't used that on me in 5 years. And I thought I was over that. You are over that. But you got flesh like I got flesh. Some days you wake up tired. Amen. Jesus did. You know, he got up early in the morning. I'm sure it wasn't a great, you know. I don't think Jesus, you know, jumped out of his, you know, sleeping on the ground, you know, and jumped up. Oh, it's 3 a.m. I think I'll go pray for a few hours, guys. I'll be back in just a minute, you know. And he'd go off and he did enjoy his time with his Father. I believe that. He was alive unto the Father. And he was trying to teach his disciples, this is going to happen to you. And we're going to come to a place, and that anointing that's within you is going to be transferable. It was transferable from Jesus. He transferred it to his disciples. They weren't even born again. He said, you guys go out, and they say, hey, even the devils are subject to us. And God said, that's great. You're having miracles. It's wonderful. It's important. But rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Rejoice that you're born again. That you have a Father that you can know. A relationship with the Father. I'm finding more and more, see, the power and the miracles are not so... I mean, it's not a great thing for God. It's an easy thing. But what He's looking for is faithful people that He can trust. A people that He can say, hey, I can pour my power out through them because they're not going to be destroyed by it. They're going to be secure in who they are in me. Not in who Pastor Dave says I am, but in who God said I am. The God of the universe. The God that created the moon and the stars. The Father who loves us. Who knows us inside and out. He knows our weaknesses and He knows our strengths, and He knows how to take those weaknesses and make them strengths. And it comes by time with Him, worshiping Him, so that when we worship God, we don't make the emotional decision, but we make a decision based on what God says. Hearing the voice of our Father. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 4:11, that's where Paul says to Timothy, we want to restore John. I don't want to leave him out there. Now I'm making him look good. I mean, maybe Paul wanted him to say, hey, you know, here's Timothy. If you continue in me, with me, and in the things I'm teaching, you'll be like Timothy is here. You know, my son in the faith. Hallelujah. Amen. 2 Timothy 4:11 says, only Luke is with me. He says, take Mark and bring him with you, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Now, Timothy isn't, you know, he didn't stop helping Paul, amen? Even though he's got his own ministry now, he goes out and, you know, he's being used of the Lord, going other places. Yet, Paul said, hey, Timothy, you know, Pastor Dave might tell you, hey, bring so-and-so over here. You know, I need to talk to him back here. Okay. You know, oh yeah, go, where's that friend of yours? You know? And he's done that before, amen? Once in a while, he calls somebody. Hey, he's got something for them. So we see here that John Mark is now brought back to Paul. He said, he is profitable to me for the ministry. There's a place where we can become profitable, not just to others, but to God. Apparently, he became profitable to the Lord, because there's only one person that's really going to cause change in your life, and that's God Almighty. You know, I can't cause a change in you. We can encourage you, Pastor Dave has encouraged me for years. He gets that, I guess it was last Wednesday. He says, now we got an ironclad. He says, we've got an ironclad guarantee. If we'll just keep praying in tongues, God's going to set us free. And we still won't do it. but we will do it. Amen. We are going to do it. We're not going to let discouragement stop us. We're going to be those that are found faithful. Amen. And if we made that mistake, we can become faithful again. We can get back into prayer. We can allow God to draw us back in. Say, well, how do you do that? Well, you just start. I can't do anything about yesterday. I can't, we can't cry over last week or the last, I don't care if it's been 80 years. You can still start. There was a lady here, a few conferences ago, 90 years old or 92. She says, pray for me. I need to ask God, how should I fast? Still seeking after God. How can I change? And God is looking for that fellowship. God is looking for us. He's drawing us to that place that sincerity and truth and power can be poured forth freely because we don't live for ourselves alone. Amen. When we think about Jesus, he left all of heaven, didn't he? To come as a man. He left everything. I'm amazed at that. God, like Dave says, only the Father can think of a plan so awesome that he would send his son and he'd be willing to come to put on an earth suit like we have and to live in a fallen, sinful world. this world, because of sin, and just because it's in a fallen state, there are certain things we face. He left all of heaven for you and I so that he could understand what it was to be a man. So he could come and say, I have a man that's going to match the problem. I have to have a man. Because without a man, there can't be the right sacrifice. The goats and the sheep are not going to do it. They're covering the sin, but they're not changing the man. But glory to God, you and I are able to partake from what Jesus gave and receive a nature that comes from him. Not his nature, but one just like his. Where our nature is changed from darkness to light. From the power of devil to the presence of God. From unrighteousness to righteousness before the Father. A gift that God gave through Jesus Christ, willing to leave all of heaven for you and I. And he suffered in this life, just like you and I do. He said he feels every infirmity that we have felt. And that's a lot. when we think about the world, there's how many billion people on the planet? 7 billion, something like that. Probably increasing all the time here. Hallelujah. But Jesus left everything. He had to get hungry. He got hungry. Like you and I do. In heaven, I'm sure he never got hungry. Isn't that amazing? It's hard for us to understand. A father that loved us. A father that cares. Comes to the fallen world. Puts on that human body. He sweat. Said he sweat tears of blood. She said, I don't know if there's any other way, if I don't have to be this sacrifice. I don't know why I'm on all that, but he went through all of that. And I think the disciples, I see the disciples that followed Jesus. You think all they did was, they walked around with him, but I'm sure Jesus probably said, hey, you guys stay here, get the fire going, while I go over and minister. I don't know that they were always right by his side. They followed him, they walked with him, they traveled with him, but there was work to do. It wasn't easy. You know, I mean, he talks to the disciples. Think about it. Oh, go get me a donkey. You know, that was their chore. You know, they're to get him a donkey. Before he rides into Jerusalem, he's got to have a donkey. They said, you tell the guy to give you that donkey. And if he asks you, say, the Lord has need of it. Oh, okay. You know, go over there and get a car for me. And if the guy says, you just go right down here to Chevrolet. And if he says, you know, you just tell him, Doug has need of it, and it'll be fine. You just go get that for me so that I can travel. I've got to go somewhere. You know, I mean, this is the kind of thing that's happening. It wasn't all glamour and glitter, you know. The disciples, they didn't know what to do. There's times the disciples, people are following Jesus. They're there. They're all following him. Seems like, you know, they were committed. You know, they were going to keep following Jesus. You know, and sometimes we do have followers of Jesus. But not everybody wants to be a sold out one. Doesn't mean they're not going to heaven. Doesn't mean they don't love God. You know, they may be faithful church attenders. Well, that makes me, I'm committed. You know, I come to church every week. No, that makes you a faithful church attender. Doesn't make you committed. You know, well, I teach Sunday school. Well, that's wonderful. You know, that makes you a good, maybe you're a good Sunday school teacher. That makes you a Sunday school teacher. Doesn't make you necessarily committed to God. You know, there are people that weren't saved that taught Sunday school and led other people to Jesus before they got saved. You know. However, you should be saved if you're a Sunday school teacher. Hallelujah. We don't want our kids, you know, messing up. You should be born again. And it is a commitment, but it's not a commitment to a church. It's not a commitment to a denomination. It's not even a commitment to a person. It's a commitment to God. If God sent you to a church, then you ought to be there. If the doors are open, you should say, Lord, you sent me here. You got to work it out. I'm not talking about, you know, everybody has a time when, you know, you're just totally exhausted and you can't get out of bed. You can hardly move. Everybody understands that, you know. But that doesn't mean everybody has to stay home. Your wife could come or your, you know, the rest of your family. Doesn't mean everybody has to be home, you know. Well, why weren't you? Oh, well, my wife was so tired she couldn't get out of bed, so I couldn't come. You know, that's not a good excuse, is it? You know. And what you excuse, as Pastor Day says, we're not willing to change, right? But I'm just, you know, there are a lot of things in the body of Christ. And sometimes I think we've done a good job in seeing people conform to a denomination. You know, what they believe. Or maybe what a person believes. But are we really being conformed to Christ? To who Jesus says we're to be? Hallelujah. He said we're to walk like him. As he is, so are we in this world. Where is Jesus? He's in that place with the Father. He had that born-again nature on the inside. We've been given that same nature. And that nature can mature. That nature can grow up to where everything that you're called to be, everything you are in him, can begin to come forward. It's not going to happen by accident. It's not. But we can choose to do that. The Bible says many are called. It took me a long time. I know Dave taught on it and talked about it. But he'd say, many are called, but few are chosen. You make yourself chosen. I thought, well, what do you mean you make yourself? I thought God chooses you. Well, he has chosen you. But you decide whether or not you're choosable and usable. Amen. We decide whether we're choosable or usable. Anyway, hallelujah. We do. We decide that. And that's a decision that every individual has to make between you and the Father, between you and God. Because we are to, the Bible says we're to study to show ourselves approved unto God. Why does it say approved unto God? Usually because a lot of times, you know, you can study and just about anybody will approve of you. A lot of people could approve of you. Man can approve. We're not looked to the approval of man. To be approved of God means that he is able to take us to the place where he can now use us, where we're usable, where we're available, where he is free to flow through us to those around us, where we are a light to a dark world. I know this last week it was awesome because I talk to the guys at my work once in a while. I just tell them, hey, you know, greatest thing is serving Jesus. You know, that's the greatest thing. Gary talked about giving out a one-liner, you know, so I just give out a one-liner. And I've talked to him about the Lord, and one guy said, well, we don't all need Jesus. I said, yes, we all need Jesus. Yes, we do. He didn't like that too well, but that's okay. You know, I'd rather have him offended now than when he stands before the Lord. Right? He said, why didn't you say something to me? You know, I mean, I wasn't obnoxious or mean about it. I was very kind. And they know that. You know, and when everybody else is, you know, people do things at work that, you know, they're lost. You know, and I remember my boss was talking about going home and getting drunk, you know. I said, we ought to get drunk together sometime, you know. I said, you can get saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, we get drunk together. You know. He said, I knew you were going to say something like that. And then I said these words. I said, I don't condemn you. And he almost started crying. You know, you could see tears coming to his eyes. It was like, what do you mean? You don't? No, I'm not condemning you. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. We remember John 3:16. He loved the world, but he also came not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And sometimes people are searching, but they don't even realize they're searching. You know, he's gone through this religion and that religion, and, you know, learned a lot of things, you know. And how many know religion doesn't get you born again? If you're not born again, you're not going to heaven. Amen. You know, but there's another guy where he'd never heard the gospel, never once. He said, and I've never heard anything about religion. And I was just shocked. He's 24 years old, never heard anything. And so he said, what's that all about? So I kind of gave it to him in a nutshell while we were working there, you know. And of course, the rest of them heard it too. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, when somebody asks, you're open, right? You're available. You're ready. This is the gospel, the good news. Almost too good to be true news. But it is true. Jesus came for you. Hallelujah. And he ended up receiving the Lord. He was moving away. He moved Thursday. But I was able to talk to him a little bit more later, you know. And he committed his life. He said, yeah, I prayed and I asked Jesus to come into my life. And the Lord told me, get him a Bible. Get him a good Bible, you know. Sometimes we get, you know, caught up and you buy the little gift Bible, you know, that's kind of cheap. You know, everybody knows it's cheap. You know, they get it in a couple of weeks, it's falling apart, you know. But I wanted to get him something nice, you know. I felt like the Lord said, hey, you get him something good. And I gave him that Bible, and he was, you know, so happy. He said, no one's ever given me a Bible. No one has ever. I've never owned a Bible. You know, and of course I got his name printed on it, you know. And I said, this is your Bible. This is for you. Because God loves you. And you're going to know him. Amen. Hallelujah. Now hopefully, I mean, I'm believing we're going to stay in contact. And he's going to grow in the Lord. Hallelujah. But there's things and people all around us that we can touch. Some are bound in religion. Some are lost. From all walks of life. Amen. And you just don't ever know. I didn't know. He had never heard the gospel. I didn't know that. You know? And I'd been praying. Actually, I had been praying. I said, Lord, I ain't led somebody to the Lord in a while. You know, I need to get somebody saved. You know, we got to get somebody born again. And there's nothing more refreshing than somebody that's never heard the gospel. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's our product, sin, right? Glory to God. We want somebody that's a sinner, you know. They've never heard the good news. Some people, you know, you got other people that have heard the good news, but they've, you know, for some reason or other, maybe they've hardened their heart. You know, now they're miserable because they got one foot in the gospel, one foot out of the gospel. And some of the most miserable people you ever lived with or worked with, you know, can be, you know, because their heart is crying out to God. You know, but sometimes maybe nobody showed them how to mature. You know, maybe they are open, but sometimes they're not. So we just pray, amen? Keep praying, and we're believing that those walls are coming down, the walls of offenses, amen? Walls of defense are coming down in people's lives. They're going to receive the gospel. All right. Matthew 25. Let me go there for a minute. Matthew 25, verse 14. So when we're talking about becoming that sold out one, you know, God is talking about developing the character of Christ, the character of Jesus, the sincerity of Jesus. You know, if there's things that need to be done, then we do it. Amen. I drove the bus. Did I ever drive the bus? You know, I said, well, that sounds easy. Just drive the bus. Till you drive the bus and you go pick up the homeless. And then people start getting their own homes. But they still don't have any transportation. So pretty soon you're picking up the homeless at the day center. Then you're driving to this place and that place and picking up the other people. And it's a 2-hour route. You know, and everybody comes and then they're ready to go home. And I said, you know, I didn't know what to say to them at first, but I figured, I said, yeah, me too. You know, I want to go home too, you know. They finally stopped saying that, you know, because they didn't realize. I got up at, you know, 6:30 so I could be here at 7 and get the bus warmed up and get it started, get it rolling, make sure everything's working, you know. And hopefully, you know, sometime after they get done, I drive the bus back. And then, you know, I clean the bus because it needs to be clean. Because sometimes there was a large or a rather foul smell on the bus. You know, so I disinfect and clean the bus. And then I get to go home. And you got to be ready. And you learn, the greater one lives in me. Right now, when I don't feel like he does, when I'm tired, when I've done all this other work, I helped vacuum the church and clean up afterwards, and we did all the dishes, and we drove the people home on the bus. You know, and everybody says, well, usually it was 3 or 4 o'clock, but sometimes it could be 5 or 6. That's just the way it was. And I know many of you have done the same and would do the same. And those are good things. We've got to remember our fellowship with the Father and being faithful in the midst of those things. It's a great time, you know, we can pray, seek God and know Him, but allow our character to come to the place that if there's something that needs to be done, whatever God asks us to do, we're willing to do that. I know some people recently, you know, was telling me, well, God told me to open up a women's home. So they did. I mean, everything was provided. God did it. It was miraculous. You know, but that's what God told them to do. Then they were sending some people. And they came, and that was great. But then they wanted to send somebody. And she says, God said no. God said no. And some people, you know, we have to endure sometimes the things that others say to please the Father. We're not to please man or to do things to please man. And I think that's kind of what happens sometimes, even as ministers, you know, pastors or ministers, we do things because the people wanted it. And sometimes the Lord had done that in the Old Testament. He gave them a king. They kept asking and asking, and finally God said, okay, we'll do it that way. You know, but God wants us to follow Him. He has a plan, and He has a purpose, and we don't get to develop ourselves the way we want to. We don't just get to say, well, I'm going to do it this way. Because He set out pattern within His Word. He said, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you will be filled. If we begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, as we've learned, we're going to begin to be changed. As we meditate the Word of God, as we worship Him, as we fast, as we seek after God, that's where the change comes from. Comes from knowing Him and allowing that character to develop within us where we are faithful in the small things so that we can be faithful in the bigger things. Amen? Hallelujah. God has placed within us that ability. Glory to God. All right, Matthew 25. I'm just going to read this here. We've got about 5 minutes, just enough time. Praise the Lord. Matthew 25:14, it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. He divided it up. Unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained 2 other. He also gained other 2 or 2 others. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid the Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants comes and reckons with them." He's making it, and he's coming, he's checking. He said, "Hey, bring the money back." And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, "Lord, you delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I've gained beside them 5 talents more." His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of thy Lord." He also that had received 2 talents came and said, "Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them." His Lord said unto him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, "Lord, I knew that you're a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and I hid my talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine." His Lord answered and said unto him, "Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which has 10 talents. For unto every one that has shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that has not shall be taken away even that which he has. And cast you, the unprofitable servant, into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And we know that that's not hell, but to the outer darkness of the heavens. You know, when we stand before the Lord, we're going to give that account. When He comes, we're going to give an account of our life, of our stewardship. We started out with that verse that we're to be stewards of the mysteries of God and be found faithful. And we want to be found faithful before the Lord. Amen. Galatians 6, it says that we're not to become weary in well-doing. And he's talking about sowing to the Spirit there. He that sows to the Spirit. Galatians 6, that he will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Hallelujah. Let's sow to the Spirit. Let's be faithful. Amen. Glory to God.